Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University and is a licensed chiropractor with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School and the clinic director at the Premier Center in Santa Monica, where he treats many famous names in Hollywood under nationally recognized Premier Labs owner and CEO Dr. Robert Marshall. Got a health question? Ask Dr. Medici live today on Straight Talk on Health. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. Good morning, my friends. Those of you who are healthy, I hope you are enjoying this day. Those of you who don't feel too well, I hope you are enjoying this day. But there'll be a difference in what you do today, of course. For those of you who don't feel well, I ask myself this question. I ask myself, after 2 decades of practice, what's the difference? And I constantly go back to this because it makes all the difference to me. What is it about the person that walks in and begins a healing that they finish, whether it's a year, a month, or 5 years later? And what is it about the person that spins? And so many people spin in their issues, in their symptoms. They spend a lot of money, a lot of time. They don't get what they need. And if there's one difference that tells me that a person's going to heal, it's the way they understand their disease or their symptom. It's their perspective on it. Perspective to me makes all the difference. And you see this all the time. People walk in. I had a bunch of those cases this week. People walk in and they're threatened with a surgery, and they walk in and they say, there's no way I'm getting this part of my body cut out. They just get that. I don't know what it is, why some people get that and some people don't, but the people that do are the ones that prosper. And you see this theme play itself out everywhere on these survivor shows. People write books on why people, when they're facing crisis in the wilderness, why some of them survive and some of them don't. Why some of them exceed themselves. To have an illness is to be asked, in a sense, to exceed yourself. To go to that higher you. The you know is there, that couldn't fully express. And now, your symptom or your disease is an adaptation. That's the theme of this show. Disease as adaptation. My job as a scientist is to bring you, the public, a better understanding of what we mean in the cell, in the organ, when we say disease is an adaptation. The cell adapts. We have to adapt. The cell is hit 10,000 times. I don't know. There's numbers out there that are in the thousands. And if we could pull a cell, the basic unit of life, out of an organ, and we could put it on a TV screen and watch it, you'd watch something amazing. You'd watch a cell hit thousands and thousands and thousands of times a second by the enemy, so to speak, by the stressor, by something that's not good for the cell. And you'd watch the cell mount continually a response to these stressors, and we'll get into some of those stressors today. And as the cell mounts its antioxidant against free radical, as it brings internal warriors to the microbe, to the virus, as the immune system goes after the parasite or the bacteria, as the lymphocyte spins up the antibody, and internally, as the cell sends out its own form of police to go after different internal cellular attack. And when the cell starts to lose that battle, when you start to see the cell come up on the short end of the stick to the infection, to the chemical toxin, to the heavy metal. What you start to see the cell do is change its shape. The cell morphs. The cell adapts on a deeper level. And as the cell adapts on a deeper level, it changes shape. It's a gross, visible shift in the way it looks to the world. What happens then is you sacrifice function for a change in the cell's structure. This goes on all the time. And this is what we call symptom. This is what we ultimately call disease. So what I want to do today is get you away from this idea that you've got a pain and it's a symptom and we got to get rid of it. I want to get you away. This takes discipline. It takes understanding. But that perspective will get you to cross the road to the other side. It's the perspective you have to evolve to. And we all know enough about the body to understand the cell. It's like a grape. It's got a skin called the membrane. It's got an internal system that we call the cytoplasm. And then the seed is where the DNA and the chromosomes and the genes of the cell are. So the cell's easy to understand. We've all had some discourse with that. So here's an example of a symptom or a disease as an adaptation. On the inner lining of your bronchial tubes, when you breathe in air, air goes down through the mouth into the oropharynx. It goes into the trachea. The trachea starts to break up into large bronchi and then small ones called bronchioles. And then we get to the alveolus of the lungs. And that's how air gets in when the air is dirty. So we'll talk a little bit about lung disease today. When the air is dirty, we have this cell on the inside of the bronchial, on the bronchus, of the bronchioles. It's a cell, it's called a respiratory columnar cell. Columnar cell. And that cell's got hairs on it. Those cells have little hairs called cilia. And if you watch the inner lining of the bronchus and bronchioles, there are these little hairs that are sprouting out of these cells called columnar cells. And these little hairs push all the dirt out of your bronchus so you don't take it into the lung. Their job is this continual sweeping upward motion to trap and push different forms of chemical, etc., up and out of your lung. And that's sometimes why you cough or you have to spit up, expectorate. But that's what those cells do. They're a specialized cell that the body puts there to push away different types of particulates, poisons, things you don't want in your lung, bacteria. Now, what happens over a period of time, of years, if these columnar cells are stressed continually? Now, one great example, of course, is cigarette smoke, but that's not the only one. Secondhand smoke, working in industry where the air is just irritating the lungs all the time. What happens then as a result is that the cell, the respiratory columnar cell with the cilia, it morphs. We say it goes dysplastic. Dysplasia. Dysplastic is a word to describe what a cell does when it's getting hit too many times and finally it calls in the troops, it makes a decision, and the cell says, we've got to change shape. We've got to thicken our skin. We've got to find a way that we didn't really want to find, but we've got an environment now that we have to adapt to. And what in this case, which drives a lot of lung issues, what in this case happens is that the cilia fall off as the cell shifts to a squamous cell. The cell morphs. It changes its shape from a respiratory columnar cell to a squamous cell. Now, a squamous cell is a tougher cell, but it's a cell that doesn't have cilia. Now, this is an adaptation. It has to be understood as an adaptation. An adaptation means an environment forced a shift in a target, in this case, your cell. And once you lose those cilia, now you can't trap particulates as well. And the particulates, the bad smog, the garbage in the air, begins to build up deeper into your bronchioles now. It goes deeper because nothing traps it. Nothing brings it up and out of the body. When that begins to happen, when you can't get those particulates out, the immune system, your macrophages, your neutrophils, your lymphocytes, all of these cell warriors, cellular police forces that scan the body looking for bits of matter that don't belong there, they begin to attack the garbage trapped in the cell because those cilia are gone, because the body, the bronchus, the bronchioles have adapted to stress. And so now we build up these particulates and the immune system sees them. And we begin another adaptive response. We begin the beginning of inflammation. So look at that. Two adaptive responses. One, the cell morphs. It goes dysplastic. Later, we're going to talk about dysplasia all the way to cancer. But get the perspective. The body's just adapting. Other people say it's getting sick. Other people say, oh, darn it, I have a symptom now. I've got a real problem. It's not the way the body's looking at it. The body's simply saying, the environment you give me to try to handle demands a more radical adaptation. If you wouldn't do that, I wouldn't have to adapt this way. Just change the terrain or the environment. But look at what we do. We intercede that process and say, here's a drug. We may even say, here's an herb, which is always more positive, but it can come from the same defective mentality. Here's a body, a cell, something driven by the life force, simply saying, hey, change the environment so I don't have to adapt like this, and we're coming in. And we're saying, we're going to disregard that. We're going to get that problem. We're going to fix it. Now, of course, in some cases, an herb can help a process. But again, there's a deeper perspective here. And that perspective makes all the difference. Now, when we start this adaptive process that we call inflammation, now we have these particulates deep in the cell with the immune system beginning to mount their attack because they don't want those things there. The immune cells release chemicals, and those chemicals create an inflammatory response. And we talk about this all the time. Inflammation means more blood. You know that from a bee sting or a spider bite. Or any time you've been bitten by something that swells up a tissue. Blood surges in. All sorts of pain-producing chemicals, prostaglandins, thromboxanes, are produced, and they're produced to warn the brain via the nervous system that there's a problem there. So again, even the short-term acute inflammatory response is, in a sense, healthy adaptation. So look at a perspective now on the beginning of what's going to be an emphysema or a bronchiectasis. Look at the beginning of it. Bad air comes into a cell that has hair on it. The cell can't handle it, and so the cell simply loses its hair. It becomes a squamous instead of a columnar. Adaptation. Then those particulates get trapped deep in the lung fields, and the immune system attacks, as it should, and we begin an inflammatory response.